The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad adders, bad day, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny stole all my gummy bears when she was drinking bottles of vino in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do, but all my friends that come around, flights of party, up rats on the west side, bed bugs of town, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do, be check out, ooh, hey, what's gigging, it's Pharrell with Mafia tonight, Claw with a drive and a dunk. Anyway, I thought the Heat, how you like them apples, win in overtime over the Celtics, 117-114 was amazing. You know, obviously on Coast to Coast today, I was all over the Heat to win outright and getting the 1.5, the double cover, PharrellOnTheBench.com. That's what's up. And I also, fully respect the Celtics. I think they're a really good team. They're absolutely no joke. Tatum is just a mother Pharreller. The guy is just going off. He had 30 and 14 with 5 dimes. The guy was sensational. But when it mattered most, he went to the 10 down 2, 116, 114, and he got swatted by Bam Adebayo. I mean, on a dunk attempt, swatted flush. And it was just an unbelievable stop and block. And I said on the show today on Sports Grid TV that their defense is unbelievable, and it really is. The whole game, I thought, defensively on both sides was remarkable. A lot of steals, a lot of hands getting in the way and stripping balls and going the other way. Just incredible, tough possessions from both teams. It could have gone either way. At the end of regulation, in overtime, it was just a phenomenal game. We'll talk about it tonight on the bench.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, we're going to have Rick Haro on this hour with our sports, Power of Sports 5 and our sports tech for this week. And then that's coming up this hour. Next hour, Alex Solano from QAM in Miami, a buddy of ours from Hockman and Crowder, really popular show in Miami. Alex does a lot of shows there as well. He runs their show and then does their show all the time. So he's their resident NBA guy, and we'll talk about the Heat win. I was just blown away by that game. You know, I think that it's just a fabulous series. They're both so good, and you just knew, I felt like, you know, going into it that it was going to be a great game, right? And I said that on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid today. I was just like, it's just that, you know, they play defense on both ends. Both teams are good on, you know, offense and defense. They take really good shots. They move the ball well. They play, you know, motion, pick and roll. They do everything. They, you know, they play basketball the way it's meant to be played, both teams. I think the Heat move freely. I think they take, you know, really good looks. I thought tonight they didn't. I thought they came out of the box very sluggishly early. I thought, you know, frankly, that the Celtics didn't take advantage of it as much as they could have. I actually think that in the first quarter, the Heat were so cold and so out of whack that I thought that Boston didn't take advantage of that. And I think Boston could have been up, you know, 22 points, 25 points. That's how, you know, they were hitting every shot they took, Boston. And, you know, the Heat were just terrible. And then when it was all said and done, you know, they were able to really kind of weather the storm, you know, if you will. And then when it was all over, like, you know, at the end of the first, you know, I got to look it up here exactly what the number was. Because I want to get it down to a T. But at the end, it was a, it was just, they were down eight, you know. And I honestly thought that, like, at one point, you understand, it was like 24 to 13, 21, 11, you know, they were just killing them. And then they let them back in the game. You know what I mean? Like, I thought they had them right where they wanted them. And then, you know, if you look at it, they were up 11 early in the second. They were up 11 midway, or with, you know, 10 left in the second. They were up 10 with 9 left, and then all of a sudden, you know, you got about 7.5 minutes left. It was 36-31, and then by 6:43, it was 37-34. And then, you know, at 6:23, it was 38-37. And then the Heat had the lead on a Butler 6-foot shot. And Hero had the assist on that. And then they were in the game. It was tied at 42s. And then, you know, when the quarter was over, I think it was tied 55 at the half. And it was. And then, you know, if you look at it realistically, the Heat were up 57, 55, 57, 56, 59, 56, and then 61, 56. And then the Celtics took the lead back on a Kemba 26-foot three in the third with 7:35 left. Then they went up 65-61, the Celtics. And then the Heat took the lead back on a Hero layup. I think that was the Euro step layup that he made, 66-65 Miami. Then Smart 2 makes it 67-66. And then, you know, basically they got it up to 74-69, 77-69. They were up 80-71. They were up 83-71, so they were up 12 at the end of three. And I guess my point is, how do you blow that lead? You're up 12 at the end of three, and, you know, honestly, it was the same thing. They were up 13 in the fourth, and then they let them get back in it. The next thing you know, or, you know, at one point, they were up 11 with 9.5 left. Then, you know, you got 9 left. It's a 6-point game. You got 8:40 left. It's an 8-point game, a 10-point game with 8 minutes left. And then you're up 9 with 7.5 left. And then next thing you know, there's 6.5 left. In a minute, you're down 4, Miami. They were down 94-90. So, and then how about this? 5 left. They're up 6 on a Brown 17-footer for the Celtics. But Dragic makes 2 free throws. It's a 4-point game. They're up on a Walker free throws, 101-95. And it was just crazy. Jimmy Butler makes a step back J with 22 seconds left. They got the lead, 106-105. Then that horrible call, I thought, the Derrick Jones foul away from the ball near the free throw line on an inbounds pass. And they called a tech and they let Tatum shoot a free throw that ties the game. And then he misses a 27-footer, a 3, to win the game at the end of regulation. They go to overtime and then the Heat beat him. So I guess my point is, to be honest, how many leads did Boston have in this game? How many, you know, 12-point leads, 10-point leads, 9-point leads? I mean, it is absolutely beyond me how they let it, you know, slip away. You can't, if you're in Boston right now, and I know the market well, I was on the radio there. I am on the radio there. I've been on there forever. I know these fans. I know these reporters. They all come on my show. And there's no way that they're not saying tonight, Mafia, that they should have won that game. They should have won the game. You're up 12, 15, you know. I mean, how many leads do you have in the game? I mean, from the beginning of the game until literally the fourth quarter, they were in charge of that game, and they just wouldn't finish him off. They couldn't finish him off, and wouldn't and couldn't, woulda, coulda, shoulda, couldn't get it done, and the Heat just kept digging and digging and digging until they finally found the gold, and they got it done. And then what was the key? The key, Mafia, was their defense. They started making stops. They started getting stops, and then they would make the bucket at the other end, whether it was a hero three, whether it was, Dragic. Dragic was unbelievable in a game. I think he had like 29 or something like that. All I know is that, you know, they just kept coming at him, and they eventually, and then, you know, you win it on a Bam Adebayo block shot on Tatum. It's unbelievable that they stole that game.
Yeah, it is. Because like you said, you know, the way that the Heat came out in that game, it looked like, you know, a situation where you have the team that's played and the team that's been off a week where the Heat just were off. And we haven't seen that at all from them in the playoffs. All that rest, their shots weren't falling. They were off. They didn't even seem like they knew what they were doing on the court half the time, kind of running around in the wrong spot. And Boston was getting those 50-50 balls. They were making the tough plays, the diving for balls, you know, loose ball plays, offensive rebounds, the hustle plays. Boston was lighting it up. And then for some reason, they took Tatum out. And once Tatum went out in the first quarter for a little bit of rest, everything slowed down. And that's where, you know, it still wasn't a tied game or anything like that point. It was still an 8-point lead after the first quarter, like you said. But that's where Miami started to get a little more confidence. And I didn't like the way that they had their offense at the end of that game at all. Like, you know, the terrible call, as you mentioned, where Kemba pretty much shoves Jones into Smart, and Smart flops because we know he does that. And then, you know, they give them the tie game there. And then the possession by Kemba earlier in that, like a couple of possessions earlier, where he's just dribbling the ball for like 20 seconds in between his legs, back and forth, and then tries to make the move and had the lane. He blew right by Crowder and then did a jump stop and let him catch up to him. He had the layup, no problem, blew that. And then the play for Tatum outside. I know the kid's hot. I know he's playing incredible, but that was a terrible three at the end of that game. He was so far out. I know they're switching on him. He had a little space, but you don't need to take it at that point.
It was 30 feet out at least, right? I mean, he was at least 30 feet out, or, you know, at least 28 feet out. It was a bomb. And he hit it off the front of the iron. So That was that. By the way, Denver down 2 to the Clippers in game 7 right now, 56-54 at the half.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell with you on the bench, and there's just under 5 minutes to go in this game 5. The Islanders led 1-0, but the Hedman goal tied it up in the second. It's 1-1, 4.5 minutes to go. It's simple. If Tampa scores, they're going to the Stanley Cup Finals. If the Islanders score, they'll be a game 6. That's the stakes here. We already saw the Heat win in overtime, an unbelievable game. And the game 7 right now has the Clippers up 2, 56-54 at the half. Rick Haro is our sports business and legal insider on Sports Grid and on Coast to Coast and Pharrell on the Bench. You hear him weekly on both of our shows. Mr. Haro, what did you think of Bam Adebayo's block on Tatum? I hope you saw that tonight.
I was watching that. I was riveted to that. And, you know, the center they had for, what, half a decade, Whiteside, he wouldn't have left his feet. So they made the right decision. They made the right draft pick. And it's not like any Heat team I've seen. You know, I've 20-year stake in the Heat, 25-year stake in the Heat. This is not LeBron and Wade and Bosch. This is not, you know, anybody else's team. This is Riley Spoelstra's team that plays like a team. These guys are fun to watch. It's interesting. Because this series will go 7, right? Unless the Celtics completely fall apart, and it'll be a hell of a 7-game series.
Yeah, I don't see Boston falling apart. I think that you saw tonight I just explained to this audience was what you saw tonight was really a little taste of that. They were up 12, 10, 9, the entire game, first quarter, fourth quarter, end of the third quarter, up 12. They let it slip through their fingers. The Heat played incredible. They wouldn't die. They kept digging and digging, and then they finally struck oil, and they got, I thought the Butler drive and one on Tatum, and then Tatum last possession, the block by Adebayo, and then he made 1 of 2 free throws, and then Tatum almost made a miracle shot on the wing. I thought the Heat stole the game. They should have had no business winning that game. The Heat trailed most of the game. They were tied up 1, up 2, up 4, up 5, and then they'd be down 10 again. It was unbelievable. I thought the call on Jones was terrible that gave Tatum the free throw to tie the game at 106, and they still found a way to win. The Heat are so good defensively that all year, all playoff, all bubble, that Bam Adebayo would block that shot on the best player on the Celtics going in for a flush dunk. That was so amazing. You can't even make it up. It should have been a movie.
Yeah, but isn't it fun to say that there's an NBA team around that plays good defense? It kind of flies against everything the NBA stands for, and it's good to watch.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I love them. You know I love them. I've been to a million games down there. I like the Heat a lot. I like them.
Yeah, I thought, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just like them more than I used to with, like, I always liked him with Dwayne Wade, right? And I always would go see him play when I was down there with you or whoever.
Right.
And then but I like him better now than when they had LeBron and Bosh and Wade and all of them. I'll be honest with you, because this is like a real basketball team that was built in Riley's image and Spoelstra's coaching talents that have a bunch of ballers. Like that kid Hero, he doesn't even shave. And Robinson, he got in foul trouble tonight, but let's face facts. That guy can flat out shoot. And then they got all these other pieces, and Butler, I think, was the final piece. And Crowder's an amazing defender and three shooter, in my opinion. When it matters most, he'll hit big threes. He did it again tonight. This is like this isn't some superstar team. This is just a basketball team that plays pure basketball, screens, pick and rolls, ball movement, shot selection, and defense.
I couldn't agree more. Like I said, it's a fun team. You know, Olynyk and a few of the guys who were around for a while, and Riley keeps adding folks. You don't think he would, but he has. And you're right, watching Dwayne Wade and Bosh and LeBron, you know, it was three guys back off, get out of the way. One of the guys will go one-on-one, and they ended up being better than anybody else. But that's not team basketball. Listen, you won't give the trophies back, but it's still really refreshing to watch. And it's good to hear you support something Miami today, given how you felt about the Hurricanes earlier today. Have you changed your mind about the Louisville game?
No, let's talk about that in a minute. Let's stay on this for a second.
Okay, all right.
This segment, we'll talk about the Heat and the Canes, and then in the next segment, we'll do the Tech and the Sports 5. I want to ask you another question here. So the fact that they stole that game, and they're up one in the series, and you know they had no business, in my opinion, winning that game. Robinson gets in foul trouble. Dragic was in foul trouble. He still had 29. He is an absolute pimp. I think Dragic is the best, you know, in my opinion, the two best, frankly, white players in the league are Jokic and Dragic. I mean, the kid on the Nuggets, and the big center, he's unbelievable. And I think this little guard that the Heat have that has been around there since 08 or 14, however long he's been there. I know he's been there at least 6-7 years. And I didn't mean 08. Bottom line is, I think they should re-sign him. I know he's got injuries and other problems, but that guy is such a great player for the Miami Heat. It's not even funny.
Well, it's a complimentary piece, like you were saying earlier. And I don't think there's any one guy that makes that team. I think the beauty of this is, you know, if you lose LeBron James, as you did, and, you know, who wouldn't, then you don't – maybe you're not relegated to winning 10 games a year, but you're certainly not going to get to the finals. With this team, it's 5-6 guys. They're not all equal, but you're right. It's a team concept, and Riley – he looks old in the suite, but you know, everybody does with a mask on, but he is old. but you know, Miami owes a debt of gratitude to him. I remember our earlier days when Ron Rothstein coached the team, when I was kind of the first guy there, and we lost 19 in a row out of the box. What a great season to be 0-19. People don't remember that, but you know, if you're going to remember the Dolphins' undefeated season, you're going to remember the Heat 0-19 out of the box.
I remember. And what about what did you think of, like, how many they got? 9 steals against them, right? So they turned the ball over. I thought, you know, a lot. And, you know, I guess at the end of the day, they had, I think, 12 turnovers, and they got they gave up 9 steals. I can't believe how many turnovers and steals that they let happen. And just kept making mistakes, like Adebayo got stripped, Hero got stripped a few times, Crowder got stripped. I just couldn't believe how, like, Wanamaker was making all these plays, Walker and Smart was just drilling threes. I couldn't believe, with all the turnovers and steals they allowed, that they won the game.
I was just about to turn it off and go to some other stuff when they were down consistently, as you said, 10, 8, 12. And then all of a sudden, you're fighting back. It's 6, it's 3. You know, Jimmy Butler makes his shot. Dragic is there. And it's one of those sneaky wins. You said it. You said it right. They stole the win. Shouldn't have won it, but they're up 1-0.
All right, 1:23 left in the third period, and a power play, a high stick. They got blood. So it's a 4-minute power play, and it'll carry over into overtime, I believe. Mafia, that 4 minute power play. So the Lightning are on a 4 minute because it drew blood. It was a high stick that drew blood. So they have 4 minutes here to try to score the game winner and go to the Stanley Cup Finals. This is huge because the Islanders are up against it now, and this is the fastest moving, passing, quick. They're like the Russian Red Army, except they're in blue, the Lightning, and they do serious damage when they get on that power play. Now they got a huge chance. They got 1:09 left in this period, and they got they'll have 3 minutes or whatever left in, you know, change when it's into overtime, unless I'm mistaken. But here's the deal. I have to ask you, why do you believe so greatly in the Canes blowing out Louisville? 11 points is, you said they'd win by 11. That's a blowout to me on the road. If you go on the road and beat them by 11, that's a blowout.
I love their quarterback, and I love the leadership, maybe because we haven't had one for a while. And so he'll make up for a lot of indiscretions, like their line needs about 4 or 5 more games to get really good. And, you know, they'll break a couple of long runs. Their defense looks better. When Russo decided to go to the draft, we thought that the defensive line was going to be just pathetic, and it's not. And so rough around the edges, but I think they'll score a relatively meaningless touchdown at the end because Diaz will run up the score, and it'll be closer than 11, but it'll be 11.
Well, how is it that do you believe that they can rack up almost 400 yards rushing and not blow out UAB?
Well, yeah, I know. And because their receivers didn't play a good game either. You know, this guy Pope and Wiggins, and so King couldn't get him the ball because he was running a lot. It's an entirely different set of skills than what we're used to. Could you imagine years ago with Toretta and Kosar and Erickson and all of those guys that we would have a running quarterback for a year only, and that, you know, that's the problem with the transfer portal. I'm already projecting this guy is going to have a great season, but then it's over. But listen, I'd rather have him for 1 year than not at all. So watch for Derek King to light it up. You heard it here.
I like him a lot, and I want to see if there's as poised on the road as everybody thinks they're going to be because they have King. Because the Canes on the road the last few years to me have been an utter disaster. Listen, I love the Canes until I'm dead, but I'm realistic about them. You can't deny, and I got a break, but they were just atrocious and have been atrocious for years, and I'm just waiting for it to all end. All right, Pharrell on the Bench with Rick Harrow, our sports business and legal insider. Let's get down to business now on the top tech. So Kaepernick's likeness will be featured in EA Sports Madden for the first time since 2016. And tell me about the situation with him, because he's still getting like endorsement deals and making fat money. Don't even tell me he's not. You don't do that gig and not get paid a lot of money. And then, but let me ask you. So he's also at the same time buffering the whole blaming the NFL for blackballing Eric Reed, and there's people that are mad that they're showing his likeness kneeling now, that the NFL is manipulating that situation and using it to their own benefit from 4 years ago. How do you feel about the whole scenario with him?
The whole scenario is a little bit unsavory, and not because of him, but just because of the circumstances as well. You know, I still, maybe I'm being naive about this, but, you know, we're now in the second game of the NFL season. Even with baggage, they would have signed him. I know that's kind of short-sighted, but listen, he's the top free agent quarterback in Madden 21. That's not a scouting service, clearly. It's a video game. But he's got an 81 overall rating that places him among the elite quarterbacks in the 111 total quarterbacks. So the bottom line is that they're using his likeness and they still think there's some value to it. It's a $200 billion industry, the video game industry. And so the idea that Nike and others are funding his movement and his image is great, and he spawned a lot of this, so he should be given credit as the father of the movement. I think at this point, there's a lot of stuff that goes on, good or bad. So just, you know, let's let the issues kind of percolate. Let's see what happens during the regular season. And, again, there might be some teams that are looking. I know his workout last, a year and a half ago, was really unfortunate the way it was handled. And we'll see if he lasts the season unsigned.
So you think that if there's an opening and there's injuries, that he'll get a call?
Well, he's near or on the top of everybody's list. It's just a question of, do people want to deal with the baggage? And he was a Super Bowl quarterback. So, you know, it's not as if he doesn't have any skills. But 3 years ago, 4 years ago, so, you know, it's kind of hard for people to come back. Look at Alden Smith. He's playing after 4 years of not being in the NFL, but being a defensive pass rusher is a lot different than being a quarterback. So it's a quick answer or a long answer to tell you, I don't know, because I'm not sure his, you know, causing some controversy against how good he is. Where is that ratio? And you know, is anybody going to need him that badly?
Do you think, first of all, do you think Stephen Ross, if something happened to Fitzmagic and they were sitting there with Tua Tagovailoa, do you think that he would call Colin Kaepernick to come in to the Dolphins? And frankly, there's, you know, a lot of teams, like, as far as I'm concerned, this McCown guy having a job at his age, and then like Trevor Siemian. Listen, no offense to Trevor, but that guy, he's just trash. And he got a job in 5 minutes. And there are so many hack quarterbacks in that league that are third string and on the practice squads. It's embarrassing. Like that literally, like, I mean, 60% of them aren't as good as Kaepernick. So, I mean, that's just off the top of my head. Like, I could go down the list and you'd be enthralled with the list A to Z of hack quarterbacks that are in this league. That, you know, there's star quarterbacks that are the starters, and then it goes downhill really fast, Rick. Would your boy Steve Ross, your friend, would he call him, do you believe?
Well, you know, he certainly, I certainly don't think that he would put any of the kind of injustice or his off-field stance as an impediment to signing him. I know Steve, and I know his Rise organization. That wouldn't be the issue. The issue would be, you know, if something happens to Fitzpatrick, is it time to bring, you know, Tua quickly to the fold? And then, you know, who's your third-string quarterback? Don't know right now. Then we would all lamented getting rid of Josh Rosen. But I'm not sure you bring Kaepernick in when you have Tua, you know, ready to go. That's a different situation. Are there a lot of teams around where Tua is, you know, one injury away? Kaepernick one injury away from being the answer? Depends on the circumstance. So, you know, you're right. Are there a lot of quarterbacks who aren't as good as where Kaepernick was 4 years ago? To be sure. Today, who knows?
I think they're afraid to play Tua. I think Flores is scared to death to play him, and I think that's a mistake. Ad revenue dropped 36% in the U.S. due to the COVID pandemic, according to the Standard Media Index report. What's that all about?
Well, here's the thing. Everybody says that TV's revenue is dropping. We know that streaming is up. We know that us old guys are streaming now. The numbers are amazing. People wouldn't even look at streaming numbers years ago for the people that bought product, us, you know, 55 years and older, but it is happening. And as a result, regular season NFL games, by the way, they're selling ads between $640,000 and $800,000 for 30-second spots on the 19 NFL windows, and $762 million in ad sale revenues from last year. And some say it might even be more this year. Why? Because people are watching more. We now have people watching and figuring out how to measure it, bars, hotels, restaurants, and all of that. And so we have a lot more value with the ads, and I think it's going up, not only in basketball, in football, but basketball as well. So good for the industry.
Tell me about the Bud Light Showtime cam.
Yeah, it's a first of its kind. It's a camera granting NFL fans kind of inside not only the locker rooms, but a combination of different camera angles as well. It was debuted on Thursday night. it's just an example of the kind of content that you have to have special for people who are kind of upset because they can't get into the stadiums. So you have access to the locker rooms. You have people mic'd up during the games. A lot of coaches are upset because they don't want to give anybody competitive advantages. But this year is a special year, and you got to be able to do it.
So Yahoo Sports, even though we're still separated, NFL games are now watched together. What is that about?
A lot of people are watching the games now with Yahoo's app, where they let three people watch live, local, and primetime NFL games on their mobile device, and they get to communicate together, three today. It's going to be many, many more over time. The NFL is a launch partner on this, Verizon Media as well. So think of it as kind of a Zoom call, watching NFL games live. Hey, listen, when I watch games, I don't want anybody near me. I just want to watch it. But there are a lot of people who will watch games who go to the stadium together and remember what it's like to do that, and they want to watch with their brethren who went to the games with them, and now they get a chance.
I watch the Red Zone channel more than I even speak with my family.
Yeah, well, why not? I mean, that goes without saying. Yeah, that's nothing new. From 1 to what, 11 o'clock on Sunday night, I'm not calling anybody. Are you? You're not calling anybody.
No, I'm not, and I just think that's the greatest thing ever invented, including more important than the airplane, the automobile, and the Edson Diesel. I think that channel is the greatest thing. Also, the radio doesn't even fall into the same category, actually.
Okay, the NBA arrow, bow and arrow, fire.
Fire was, you know, long before Christ, there was fire.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realize that. I thought Christ came first before fire. Oh, no. My God. What are we doing? Here we go. NBA.
Cavemen were sparking fires and heating their liquids. The NBA has hit 50 million followers on Instagram. That's impressive, isn't it? I love the NBA, even though the refs are terrible.
Yeah, right. Pharrell on history. So it's the first sports league to hit the 50 million Instagram number. Just think about that number. In June 2020, La Liga was at 7.2 million. Barcelona was near it, but nowhere near the NBA's new 9 million Instagram followers who have been at home and want to look at it. And so the bottom line is the NBA understands that social media drives the deal. And now if you can combine social media with actually live content, you're in really good shape.
How did you now with the Sports 5 real quick? How did you like the U.S. Open? I like that Dom Thiem kid from Austria. I think he's a great player. I thought it was great to see someone new win instead of the big three. I'm sick and tired of those guys winning every slam.
Yeah, I agree. But now let's get back to them. One of them winning the French. The French is always one where you have Nadal playing somebody nobody's heard of. So, you know, let's get back and have one of the big three win. I thought Thiem and Zverev, the match was unbelievable. And the same thing on the women's side. So, you know, going to a tiebreaker in the fifth set, and if they were playing the French, they'd still be playing.
So what happened with the Rams and rapper Watts raised activist Styx? I don't even know who that is.
Well, I don't either, but that's okay because they're raising money for dollars, and they had a big event that they had promoted. The Rams focused on keeping community, local, grassroots happening. He's a rapper who knows Los Angeles, and it's good that he's part of the deal that's raising money for the community during the pandemic, and they did it at SoFi, even though they had no fans. It's a beautiful stadium, and it's really unfortunate that they had the game on Sunday night and get used to it. Same with Allegiant Stadium this next week. You're going to have two beautiful stadiums open and no fans inside.
Well, I think eventually the fans will come back, and I think that the SoFi will be there for, you know, the next 20 years, 25 years at least, and it's an incredible facility, and it's going to be for more than certainly just football. They're going to have the Olympics there. I think it'll be an incredible thing. What are the Vikings doing with their initiatives and money toward everything that's going on there with social justice issues?
Yeah, $1 million for multiple initiatives. 3 months after the Wilfs, their ownership, pledged $5 million for social justice causes throughout the United States. And so the Vikings before the game against the Packers. They had a big event, Rock the Vote. They're trying to raise significant dollars. Obviously, the Malcolm Floyd tragedy took place about 5 or 6 blocks outside of U.S. Bank Stadium, and they honored it the way they saw fit and raised a lot of money in the process, which is really good.
So let me just say, the Big Ten, I think, swung and missed tonight. But you never know. With the Game 1 and Game 7 going on and the hockey game going on, I actually think tomorrow there's just baseball. So maybe tomorrow the Big Ten will announce their plans for football. I have 40 seconds, respectfully, Rick.
Yeah. Well, listen, swinging and missing and not having a press conference are probably two different things. I know Kevin Warren has been deluged as he started his tenure as Big Ten commissioner. And if they start the plan to play 8 games and it's October and then they sync up with the playoffs, and the big issue is going to be if a team goes 8-0, like Ohio State, will they get the nod in the playoff against a team or with a team that's maybe 12-1 that doesn't, or 11-1 that doesn't, or 10-1? All of these questions are big questions, but during a pandemic time, you got to give some flexibility to it. And it's good that they're feeling the pressure, because it'll be fun to see Big Ten football. And you predict it's going to be announced tomorrow. You got to.
All right. So I have to tell you, Rick, good stuff. Thank you. We got to go. They're in overtime. And it looks like the Lightning will not score on that long power play they had. Thanks, Rick. Pharrell on a bench. Carver High knows Mavi about that stuff way more than I do, right? Like, he's still up on that stuff, and I'm not up on it, so I could care less. I don't get involved, and he knows everything. So he tells me that kind of stuff. I don't go looking for it. Trust me. You know me. I could care less. But anyway, here's the deal. The Lightning had a 3-minute power play because they had a 4-minute double minor with the high stick and blood. So then they had a minute and 15 in the end of the third period. They couldn't score. Then they go to the overtime. They had 3 minutes and they couldn't score. So I think that's a huge development for the Islanders. I mean, against that team, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the best team in hockey, without a doubt, that they couldn't score in 4 minutes speaks volumes as to how well the Islanders are playing tonight, playing for their lives. You know what I mean? They're just playing for their lives, and they're just, busting tail to get this win and force a Game 6. They got to win 3 games in a row. They have to win games 5 tonight, Game 6, and Game 7 if they're going to win the series. And I just cannot see that happening personally, nor did I see it happening with Vegas. And I had Dallas last night, and I won you money there as well. Just like I won you money with Tampa in this series. I've hit the not only did I hit the 3 Tampa wins, I also hit the Islander win. I called that game, too. So I have been fire. So we've got another hour. Alex Solano will join us. Heat win from Miami and QAM tonight.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.